We're going to move into community comment. And I'm sorry we didn't get this together earlier. People want to sign up over there. The guy in the red shirt, sorry, I forgot his name, waving his hands wildly. Please go there. We're asking people to limit their comments to 2 minutes. And we'd like to have a total of an hour worth of comments. So given what's going on, it looks like it's doable. Obviously, you don't have to take 2 minutes. You can do it in less. I believe three people did already sign up, so we can start with them. Do they know who they are, Teresa? Do the first three people know who they are?
Yes, they do.
Where are they? Where are they? The first three names can I have? Folks. Raphael. Yeah, Raphael. You're first, Raphael. You want to come up? And who's second?
Fernando.
And Bob, letterer. Yes, please. Everybody, please remember, this is being broadcast on radio and on web streaming. Please come up to the microphone, speak right into it, and don't grab the microphone with your hands. And don't, you know, rustle a lot of papers and stuff in front of it. This is radio. It's an audio, you know, you have to hear what's going on. Folks, I'm sorry. Could those folks signing up kind of try to do it quietly so we can begin the process here? So Raphael was first. I don't know what the... Okay, folks, I'm sorry, folks. Can we just begin?
Yes.
Okay. Again, if people signing up can try and keep it down, that would be great. If people could just say who they are and what listening area they're from, that'd be great.
My name is Rafael Renteria. I am from the KPFK listening area. This is Margaret from the New York listening area. This is Steve from KPFA and Deb from KPFT. And we're here, standing here to request of you that you make certain that there is a bylaws convention a year from the date of the ratification, and we'd like to ask everyone in the room who supports that to please stand up now.
For those of you listening on the radio, a lot of people stood up.
And I think that speaks for itself. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The second person was Fernando. Fernando, are you here? If not, we'll go to the third person, Bob, letterer. And then if I could have the list of people signed up as soon as it's ready. Bob.
My name is Bob Letterer. I'm from the WBAI Signal area. And for those board members and people in the audience here and at home who weren't here earlier in the day, let me just briefly give a summary of one of the proposals for the bylaws that is being considered by the board this weekend. I'm from the Unity Caucus, which is a very diverse group of people from all types of communities in the New York City area that are concerned that the Pacifica of the future, under the whatever set of bylaws are adopted, must truly meet the goals of the original mission, which is to represent the views of the disempowered and the unheard in our communities and across the country, and that we believe that it's absolutely central, and in many groups throughout New York City have given input to say that only through self-representation, through guaranteed seating on both the local station boards and the national board, will that voice be absolutely assured to have a seat at the table when decisions are made about the vital issues of the future of this network. And so to that end, we've drafted a proposal for local boards consisting of 36 people, 15 of which would come from a series of groups that have suffered from oppression, marginalization, exploitation, which includes a series of six groups based on their race and nationality that have been marginalized, and another eight another seven groups, from workers to youth, women, people with disabilities, prisoners, lesbians, gay men, bisexuals, and transgendered, as well as cultural workers that have been marginalized in other ways, and that each of those communities represented by those people would have the right to vote, to register and vote for their representative on the board, as well as there being at-large seats and seats by different geographic areas. So we hope that the board will give consideration to that, and we think it's a very important part of truly fulfilling the mission. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Okay, Fernando. Again, we're asking everyone to keep it to 2 minutes. 2 minutes. So that's right. Two.
You tell me when you start the clock.
Okay, it's been going for about 30 seconds.
Very quickly. That's your time. I want to address the issue of equality in Pacifica. I like to think that we all like to have one single rule, one single yardstick for all of us members of the Pacifica family, that whether it is the issue of racism, whether it is xenophobia, whether it is the issue of homophobia, whether it is anti-Semitism or sexism, it should be applied unilaterally, like a blanket to all people, one single rule for all of us to follow, and those who obey, who disobey, who break the rule, to be done about it. That's not acceptable. Number two, I like to think that the people should have self-determination. The Latinos should have the right to elect whoever they want to them to be represented in the Pacifica National Board, as well as the local board, as well as the staff, because we cannot have different rules for different people. Okay? So what I like to ask is that I like to see, first of all, a Native American sitting on this board. This is not acceptable. Please, let's work with me, okay? I will appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Next is Marianne Dumont. I'm sorry, I'll read the next few names. Marianne, then Reem, then David. I'm not sure which David, it just says David. And then Serene will come after David. So, Marianne? No. Okay, we'll come back. Reem? Reem, David, Serene.
I'm quoting Carol Spooner, who says, very eloquently, that the staff members have a unique and very interested perspective about the working conditions inside, that the staff knows, because they work there, what are the issues that the rest of the board should know about and how to best serve the whole Pacifica. And they can help a board evaluate and make certain that our stations are better serving and bringing this information to the whole. And it is very interesting to see that when we're choosing a local board that has to have the expertise needed to do their job, the access to the community and to the different issues that they're trying to help Pacifica serve and support better, and also have accountability, that suddenly we feel that somebody who's not disabled, has not been elected by disabled, can do that better than others. When it is very clear that actually you need to be a staff to really bring the issues of the staff to the whole board to better serve the staff, that you can think that not being Latino, elected by Latinos, accountable for Latinos, or Muslim for that matter, or disabled, or women, that you can do that. Let's have a little more humbleness and a little more grounded in the history of this country and the reality. Because really, it's only the people themselves that can bring into us Pacifica the skills and the accountability and the accessibility of the communities we serve so that we can better serve them. Let's admit that, because we, as these communities, are telling you that. Take us seriously. It is the survival of our nation, of our communities, and of our Pacifica that depends on it.
Okay, thank you. David, I don't know which David. There's no last name on it. It's actually not you, but we'll take you, David Adelson, since no other David jumped up.
No, it actually was me, but I asked to be later, but I'll just do it now. A couple of things. One, my own engagement in this struggle over all these years has been with the hope that ultimately the institutional structure created would be more like a commons than like the traditional corporation that we have here in the United States. where it's a fight over who are the bosses. So I'd like to, it is my hope, I don't think we'll get it right in this first round of bylaws, something that resembles more of a commons where people have some degree of control over what happens based on their ability to make use of the space. So I'm very much in favor of the proposal to have another revisitation of bylaws, formal, involving large numbers of people a year from now as something we agree to right now. The other thing I want to say is that I've heard proposals that are intended, I think, the idea put forth that we need to think about acquiring new stations and other stations. And I just want to point out the historical point that all the growth in the network, all of the station growth, occurred before we had a strong central national board. And it happened because people agreed with what was being done at the foundation and contributed their money and their work and their effort to organize stations because they liked the way the Pacifica did things and the way it was doing things, not because some enlightened national board said we need to leverage the resources that other people have given us better and become an effective institution at acquisitions. I think an argument can be made that the entire movement of community radio in this country sprung out of the ideals that were put forth by the founders of Pacifica. So Pacifica is actually much larger than just those stations under its administrative umbrella. I think if we tend to treating the people within, as Fernando put it, this family, and attracting more people to contribute their of their time and attention to it, that the network will continue to grow, and this board doesn't need to concern itself with leveraging these assets in order to do that.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. We have Serene, then Brad, then Ken. And, you know, there's a mic over here, too, so whichever is closer to you, you can go use. Oh, only this mic you want to use? Okay, I'm sorry. Forget what I just said. Just the mic over here. So it was Serene, Brad, Ken, then Steve Brown.
Hi, thanks. I heard a few things this morning that
again,
earlier
please
today.
Say who you are and what listening.
This is Serene Roberts from New York. A couple of things I wanted to sort of clarify. And some things that I heard that actually caused me, you know, some degree of distress. I heard a statement that, you know, well, we went out and we found a black person to join us. And I heard, well, you know, it's there. People just have to come and participate. And I heard a statement that we don't need to have them here. We can speak for them. It seems to me that at a progressive institution, and I actually respect some of the people who make these statements, so it's particularly troubling for me to hear that. But there's something that I don't think people are quite getting about the Unity Caucus and part of the bylaws, the main focus of the bylaws that we presented, the draft that we presented. We're talking about self-determination. We're not talking about well-meaning people thinking of others and considering others and empathizing for others. We're talking about communities being empowered, being put in a position where they make their own decisions. They choose their own representatives. Those representatives are accountable to them. The statement was made, well, you know, if I'm not black, then I can't vote for a black candidate. And I know that some of you may not have had access for a long period, you know, an extended period of time to the entire model, but I urge you to read it again, because what it says is that you can vote within constituencies, but you self-identify. You can choose to identify as a woman. You can choose to identify based along racial, gender, sexual orientation lines, so forth. And you can choose to vote in both, in at least two constituencies, either geographic, at large, or in your mission constituency. Further, if we're serious about doing the in-reach outreach and we really reach out, we will end up with candidates in the geographic and by-large categories as well that are as diverse as the Pacifica we claim we're trying to create. There's something about the suggestion that people are not capable of making their own best choices, that these choices need to be made for them. That is really, really insulting. And I urge everyone to have a closer look at that mentality.
Thank you. Brad, I'm calling out the names in advance so people can go over there. Right? Brad, Ken, Stephen.
This is an announcement. Many of you may be aware of the case of Farouk Abdelmouti, who is the esteemed Palestinian activist whose home was invaded by Immigration and Naturalization Service agents, INS agents, with New York police last April while he was actually on the air at WBAI. He was involved with producing various programs for in support of Palestinian self-determination. And then he was subsequently detained by the INS and has been jailed at least three different facilities in New Jersey without medical care, which he needs, and without due process. Today was the date of the institutional review of Farouk's case regarding provision of medical care and his and the general status of his case. I don't know the outcome of that, but Farouk has been in jail for 5 months of a six-month arbitrary detention, so whatever happened today, it's important for people to contact the INS on Farouk's behalf. So we have flyers. Here, which I'll put on the table, I'll put on that round table in the back corner back there. And for people who are hearing this on air, they can call the Committee for the Release of Farouk Abdelmouti at 212-674-9499. That's 674-9499. The request is for people to write the INS and request that Farouk be immediately released as a political prisoner and additionally for all detainees to be provided with medical care, which most have been routinely denied, including many who present with real medical needs, like Farouk, who required medicine for a chronic medical condition. INS agents have made it clear that Farouk has been detained because of his efforts on behalf of Palestinians on air at WBAI. Therefore, we at Pacifica must respond to this tactic because it is precisely this silencing of activism for freedom from repression and exploitation, which is our purpose as a network. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Ken Friedland, then Steve, then Rick. Rick Potthoff.
Yesterday, Pacifica Now held its second series.
Sorry, again, can you just say who you are and where you're from?
I'm sorry, I thought you just introduced me. I'm Ken Friedland from the KPFT Signal Area. Yesterday, Pacifica Now held its second series of discussions. This statement is the fruit of one of those. It was a workshop on the practice of race baiting, which was identified as an increasingly common but illegitimate way of advancing political agendas that is currently polluting Pacifica's discourse. Like its cousins, smear campaigns and character assassinations, race baiting seeks to control the direction of discussion and decision-making by attaching an odious label to those who politically disagree. It can be summarized as, either you support me or my position, or you are a racist. To some extent, this dynamic succeeds precisely because those in the wider hearing range of this allegation, those who are the intended hearers of the imprecation, are presumed, usually accurately, to be willing to accept the entitlement of the race baiter to designate another as a racist. In other words, the typical knee-jerk response to such charges effectively hands the race baiter a loaded gun with which he or she can pistol-whip political opponents. Just as Pacificans, especially in my Signal area, have a need to be educated about other illicit methods of promoting a personal agenda, such as flaming, trolling, and smear campaigns, so we all would benefit from a studied approach to the problem of race baiting, especially issues surrounding race will necessarily be part of Pacifica's larger discourse. We must all be able to consider and address these questions without the hindrance of orchestrated campaigns to muddy the waters with rhetoric and recrimination by those few who desire to win at any cost, who, under the guise of protecting the exploited and oppressed, end up using the race issue to exacerbate racial tensions rather than to understand and resolve the core sources of conflict and seek to resolve them as called for in the Pacific Commission.
Okay, thank you. Steve, Rick, and then Ted Friedman.
Steve Brown from the New York area. Ken Friedland, who just spoke, analyzed the problem quite well. I'd like to go one step further and propose that the National Board take some notice of this issue. So far, there's been race baiting. There have been enormous charges thrown back and forth, and no one in the leadership, either at the stations or in the labs or on the National Board, has seen fit to make public statements or do anything about it. So I propose that the National Board direct the stations to construct some mechanism to deal with these charges. And when a charge is made that someone is indulging in race baiting or sexism or homophobia, any others, that these charges be examined immediately, and although you can't physically do anything to the person, publicly condemn them, expose the person who does that, and hold him or her up to shame in some official manner. The leadership really needs to take notice of the issue.
Thank you. I just want to, for those people listening on the radio and on the web, this is the meeting of the Interim National Board of Pacifica Foundation in Houston. So welcome to this meeting. And we're in the middle of listener comment, community comment. Rick?
Well, hi, I'm Rick Potoff from Houston. I just wanted to comment. I've just heard recently in the last 10 minutes that there's going to be a new appointment of somebody by one of the groups here on the board. And from what I understand, it's going to be a person here in Houston. I've seen several emails that have complained because L.A. is only represented by one person. I'd like to ask the people who are going to be making an appointment that they strongly consider getting somebody from L.A. so that there'd be more balance on this board. And that's all I have to say.
Let me just I just want to make sure everybody has the accurate information about where we are. So if I could beg your indulgence for a second and explain. This interim board, just so everybody knows, was comes out of the settlement of the lawsuits last year. The way it was constructed and the way it operates is that the old board majority names five people, the old board dissidents named five people, and then each local advisory board named one person. The old board majority had named their five. Back in January, one of those people dropped off, Wendell Johns. And the old board majority had never taken any action to replace that person. I was informed yesterday that the old board majority is would like to take action on that and replace that, you know, fill that seat with somebody from here in Houston. They are the old board majority, and there was 10 people who were the old board majority at the time of the settlement agreement, are the people who control that seat. They are the only group of people that have the right to fill that seat. Nobody else on the board and nobody else anywhere can influence that or whatever. I informed folks from the old board majority that in order to do that, to take that action, that I needed in writing a signature from at least six of those 10 indicating that there was support for the seating of this person. At this point, I have received three such signatures. So at this point, there is no action. The settlement agreement reads very clearly that as soon as I am informed, the person would have to be seated. So if and when I get the other three signatures, then the person would be seated. Until that point, there is no action. So let's continue. I'm sorry to interrupt the flow of the speakers. I just wanted to make sure everybody had the accurate information. We have Ted, then Susan, then I'm not sure what the next name is. If it's Manolo or Manglo or Margolo. Okay, thank you. Sorry about that.
Hi, I'm Ted Friedman from KPFA, and I wanted to talk about our election process. We crafted a very a functioning model for conducting elections, and we followed that model to carry out two successful elections. The KPFA lab is now totally elected. Working out the process was painstaking and labor-intensive, but successful. It worked. Other stations and labs should not be afraid of elections. We offer our model to the other stations and to Pacifica. Having elections brought our lab closer to the listener community and the station staff, and it led to renewed energy and made our lab more productive. We urgently request that our election process be included in and sanctioned by the new bylaws. If it is undermined, it will throw our functioning lab into disarray and will gravely demoralize the people on it.
Hi, my name is Susan Lee. I'm a producer from WBAI. Over 25 years ago, a group of women and I did an on-air sit at WBAI. That action and a lot of political effort resulted in a women's department and increased women's programming. It's more than 25 years later, Janet Coleman, another BAI producer, and I did an on-air gender study about WBAI earlier this month that reveals problems in the area of gender that we all, management, staff, and listeners, agree need to be worked on. It is clear that it is time for a new focus on gender, both at the station and the national level. At the national level, gender should be included in the diversity mandates about race and ethnicity. Gender disparities were not created in a day, nor will they be solved in a day. They must be remembered, addressed, remembered, and addressed again. We need consciousness that women belong on the air, not just for an occasional visit, but equally to men. Outreach must be done at all levels. We need a funding mandate for paid outreach people at every station to organize outreach. Women must be trained and given the air. At the local level, I am pleased to report that conversations with management have begun to deal with this problem. We are going to start with affirmative action training for staff and management, out of which we hope to come up with an action plan for the inclusion of more women on the air as hosts and guests on the staff and in management. The tapestry at Pacifica that we're trying to create must include all of us. Women are traditionally put second, tomorrow, or never. We must stop that now.
Good, thank you. Okay, come on. After her will be Mansoor, Maria, and then Patty.
Leslie, could Susan give us some numbers as to, so we have a clear idea of what she's talking about? Do you have some statistics or numbers?
Yes, I do, Ray. I sent you a copy, I think, on the email. Maybe they didn't come through clearly. But I think that in view of time and stuff, much as I would love to recite every number to you right now. Well, all right. Leslie, do we have time?
Okay.
Let me just explain. It's male, female, and then combination. It means women and men. 69% male overall.
At
WBAI, 14% female. The rest, combinations, equal balance. Hosts, on-air host hours. And I think we all, because I have had these conversations, we all understand there's a problem. And I believe that we just have to focus on it. We have to bring in women. We have to encourage women. We have to train women. You know, it's like women in math.
Okay.
I'm just
thank
doing
you.
My pitch.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Again, if people could introduce themselves and what city they're from.
Margalo Ashley Ferran from Los Angeles, active on the KPFK Bylaws Subcommittee. All of us, I'm sure, who are longtime listeners and supporters are really thrilled to that Pacifica is going to become a membership organization. Now, in order to properly put this into effect, we believe that this board must put into our bylaws that members can vote directly not only for station board members but also for national board directors. We also believe that members must be permitted to propose bylaw changes and that critically only members be able to vote on the bylaws changes and not just the PNB board as in several bylaws drafts. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Mansoor. I'm not sure then if it's Mariah or Maria. I'm not sure who's next. Mariah, okay.
Hello, my name is Mansoor from Los Angeles. First and foremost, I would like to have the opportunity to thank all the activists, lab members who have worked very hard and diligent on all bylaws subcommittees to be thanked on the air. We have worked very hard on this. The other point is if we allow the foundation's past acts as a guiding lights for us for the future, then let us move from a vague language used in the past to a new, concise, and very detailed language to avoid the past mistakes in the new set of bylaws that we're going to be writing for the future. The new bylaw is going to be acting as a constitution for the Pacifica Foundations for the next 20 to 30 years. And to achieve this, I think we need to use a direct democracy participation of listeners in decision-making process. Let us the listeners to be part of a verification means of the new bylaws rather than just the boards decide on this. Finally, let me reiterate Rafael's idea of having a bylaws convention a year after the passage of the bylaws.
Good, thank you. Okay, Maria.
Mariah Gillarden, local advisory board member at KPFA and producer of TUC Radio. I want to take the opportunity to recognize Jane Jackson here. Jane was one of three women arrested in front of Pacifica's doors when she tried to prevent the move of Pacifica to Washington, D.C. As it happened, Cheryl Garner Shaw took a big file box and climbed over her. An escape with records we still haven't seen. And Jane was arrested, but also as a sign of the enormous support that KPFA has and had in the city of Berkeley, the police took the three women around the corner and let them go. The other issue is my very, very old hat. It's finances of Pacifica. As you know, I was banned from all Pacifica stations for asking about finances. The local advisory board of KPFA just passed a motion out of a sense of deep frustration of not having had any accounting. The KPFA lab recommends that KPFA management suspend all future transfers of shortfall funds to the Pacifica National Office until KPFA and its listener community receives a full accounting of all money spent by the Pacifica National Office between February 1st, 2002 and August 31st, 2002. And, yeah. And I just ran into Dan at the elevator and he said he had some kind of record, so we will all go to his room after the end of this. of this meeting and get to see what he has. What's your room number again?
Instead of that, let me invite everybody after this meeting tonight. There is a public reception for everybody. Maybe Dan will bring the information down there. Down on the first floor, it's open to everybody. There'll be some food and a cash bar, so, you know, please. That's not Dan's room. No.
Am I out of time?
Well, I don't know if you were done.
Am I out of time? Okay. Okay. Well, I would have said something about democracy now to make myself really unpopular, but Patty is taking that on.
Again, I just want to thank everybody for keeping to the time limits. It's very helpful.
I'm Patty Heffley from the New York area. I first want to say the motion that was made by the KPFA lab demands that the IPNB, after its special meeting of September 8th, which didn't happen, make public any new draft contract between Pacifica and Democracy Now! And open it for comments from the listeners before any vote to approve it. The complete draft should also be made available to all labs for review at the same time when it is presented to the IPNB and should not be signed until three of the five labs approve. What I want to say is that signed, in case people here, if they're not on the internet, they may not know the contract entails, so I will quickly reiterate Basically, it's a 5-year contract, no renewal. $440,000, 4 to 10% increase a year to Democracy Now! Productions Incorporated. It asked for the archives of Democracy Now! To become Democracy Now!'s, the name, 2 times a year, the subscriber list of Pacifica, the paid music rights, the phone bill of up to $4,000 a month, the insurance for journalists. Basically, what we are paying for in this case, to me, it's a disposal of assets, which I don't think the IPNB has any right to do. Over time, as production values change, we will be paying for the audio track of a TV program, and I'm not sure what that's going to sound like in, say, for 2 years. This was signed without full board participation by people that had two people with, to me, conflicts of interest. One just quick thing, Peter Frank, who was a former president of Pacifica and a lawyer, stated that the possible deleterious effects and ramifications of such a contract are manifold, and we must pay attention to what that is. And so I just like people to really think about this, the national board to really think about this contract and what it means for Pacifica, because there really was nobody watching the hen house.
Okay, Miguel is next. I have Miguel, and then again, I'm sorry, I can't read the handwriting. I think it's Bill somebody, and then Leslie Radford. Miguel, sorry. Miguel, Bill, Leslie. People could start. People, you know you've signed up for the list, so maybe you can move to this side of the room.
Hi, my name is Miguel Maldonado, and I'm from the New York area, and local ambassador board chairperson for WBAI. And this afternoon, I heard a lot about diversities, and at some point, I thought was listening the Democratic Convention and the way that people was speaking. But it was a Pacifica meeting. But I just want to address the issue of that I know, and I would like to call the attention to the national board members, the issue of race and Pacifica, and how I think that we are dealing with it, which is, I think that, I don't know about all the fields, maybe that we can have a whole discussion about all the issues, but when it comes to race, I would say that Pacifica Board and the whole Pacifica family is handled that issue really bad. And it's still, I know that I live in a society which is black and white, and I refuse to live in a society which is black and white, because for what I confront, I don't fix any categories because I belong to a community. But at the same time, I try to develop work where I can work with people who I think our brothers and sisters, but sometimes you guys exclude us somehow because the way that you think. And I would say that my experience dealing with different people and how we accommodate people when they're not agree on certain issues, like I thought that we have Pacifica is basically a challenge to the United States government, because United States government don't want to hear that voice. And we say, no, this is the voice that everybody needs to listen. And somehow that is a kind of something that you would like to hear, because it's a challenge. But at the same time, internally, and the way that we deal with contradiction, I think that sucks sometimes, really terrible, and exclude people, and trying to shut down people. And I think that, you know, it's like, my goodness, this is the people that supposed to challenge to the government and criticizing the government sometime, somehow or another, using a model that is very similar in the way that people got shut down. And we just coming from an experience that we have a B5 because including people. And I think that it's not that much different nowadays. Thank you.
Thank you. So Bill, Leslie Radford, then Adrian.
Thank you, Leslie. I am Bill somebody. Thank you. Yes, Bill Schmidt is my name. And an effort was made to interview me in November of 1989 when I was living for the 1980s in the country of El Salvador. And I got a call from WBAI, asked the morning after the Jesuit priests were killed for me to give an eyewitness view to the goings-on of El Salvador at the time. And I was so bummed out by the confluence of interests of our government and the churches that I denied the interview. I did not want to speak. And so it's taken me really 13 years to come around. And thank you for the sanity that you bring to analysis and to the media. One of the men I worked with, Father Ignacio Ayacuria, who was director at the Catholic University at the time, said that the United States is the most violent nation on earth, and he put a finger on the connection between arms and drugs and politics, and he was murdered for that. And I want to just tell the board to have courage in these days because that spirit is alive, and since Pacifica has steadfastly tried to work and stand for the truth, you're going to be facing those kind of odds. But I want to just, 12 years later, thank you for your sticking with it. And I know it's been rough this past time in the reformation of Pacifica, but you are the only sane voice that we have speaking to our people. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, Leslie. I'm the other Leslie. I'd like to speak to you today about the importance of power going to local community stations, and I want to make sure that that issue is addressed. You hold in your hands a very precious and vital gift. Precious in that it's one of the few things that may keep the human race from its seeming desire to self-destruct. Vital in the sense that it is a living thing, and it changes, and it grows, and it evolves. And it is time for it to evolve. The listeners in this room, and I look around and I don't include myself in this number at all, but many of them have spent 2 and 3 and 5 and 7 and 12 and 20 years of their lives in this struggle. They have earned the right to their local stations. They have earned the right to control them. Not just with giving dollars. These are not listener sponsors. These are listener activists who've given blood and sweat and tears to the station. If you let Pacifica go to us, you let Pacifica grow. Not only that, but these people have learned. They've learned how to make Pacifica responsive to local needs and local constituencies. The time has come for you to give us what you hold, that precious and vital gift. In the next war, it will be countered by thousands of local actions, by neighborhoods. Let the community stations lead those neighborhoods. A central government speaking to another central government is not going to end that war. If you give the power of Pacifica to local stations, you make it possible for Pacifica to lead the peace. Thank you.
Thank you. We have Adrian, then Marianne Martinez, and Rhonda.
My name's Adrian Lobby. I'm from KPFA. I would like to thank all of you for being here and sitting here and listening and talking to each other in public. I'd like to acknowledge all the people who scrounged up the money to get here, and I wish that if you had to think hard about where the money would come from, you'd stand up, and if some of your friends funded you or a listener group funded you, would you all please stand up, raise your hand, or wheel forward if you're Jane Jackson. And thank you. Thank you for coming. I would like to call the board's attention to a flyer put out by the National Ad Hoc Committee, Anti-Racism Committee, and we've been doing work on the race and nationality resolution. We have time on the board to give a full presentation later. This has to do with the bylaws. There are a few provisions, and one is in the preamble. We ask that you discuss the need to include diversity in the government, in the staff, and so on. In the composition of governance bodies, we would ask that there be a clause talking about goals for each board being half women, half people of color at least, and substantial diversity on other levels. That the duties of the Pacifica board and the local boards are to see that the staff and programming is diverse and consistent with geographical diversity and have an atmosphere that promotes diversity. We have real specific language. We're not trying to talk to you about any particular drafts, but we'd like this kind of language included in any draft that you choose. And I'll make sure that you all get a copy of the handout. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so Marianne, then Rhonda, then Jane Jackson.
Hi, my name is Marianne Martinez from Houston, and I want to say this to the board, that as you begin to look over the bylaws, please remember that what you're, this is similar to believing in God. You know, you have to have faith, and so as you look this stuff over, you know, remember that who you represent, and have faith in what you're doing, and have faith in the people you represent. There's a couple of things that I think you should think about as you review those these bylaws. I think that you should closely examine four areas, and these areas are conflict of interest, nepotism, executive sessions, and specific language that is written into the bylaws. Conflict of interest pertains not just to business matters, but also to situations like individuals that are running for political office. That presents a conflict of interest, and that should be looked at very closely. Nepotism can, if there's people in our governance structure who are related to each other, it can skew community representation. So please think about that. Executive sessions should be very seldom used. If you want a democratic Pacifica, you need to open up those all sessions to the community. And really, I would say just do away with the executive sessions. You know, the truth will set you free. And just one more thing, and that is that please look very closely at the language and the wording in the bylaws before you approve anything. We know only too well here in Houston how easy it is to take one phrase and twist it and distort it to attack individuals. So please, please do that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we have a number of more people. We want to try and get everybody in. So, again, we're going to really stick to this two-minute time. We have Rhonda, then Jane, then Carolyn Burden.
Hi, my name is Rhonda Garner, and I'm a native Houstonian, a KPFT listener for probably 28 years. I want to start on a positive note and say that despite all of the turmoil and dissension in Houston, the radio is better. What we're hearing on the air is better, but there is still a big problem. And that problem is that we do not have dissident representation on this PNB. I would also like everyone to notice that George Barnstone is not sitting here listening to the listener comments, nor does he in our local lab meetings. I would have called for and petitioned and worked hard for his removal. But I knew elections were around the corner and I didn't want to do that. So I sought my own resolution the second time I saw Janice Blue shut down. And so I sent a message to all lab members asking them to answer some questions so I could understand their motivation and get a better idea of who they are, because as there is now in Houston, there's no process. This is an elitist group. Teresa Allen did not answer me. George Barnstone did not answer me. I would also like to say that if indeed Charles Smith is the person you have in mind to put here, there is a far better selection of people, such as Marianne Martinez, who has worked hard in every governance committee meeting, elections,
Ted Weisgel would be a choice, okay? Rick Potthoff could be a choice. We need some dissident representation on this board. And I know this to be true because I've gone to every lab meeting. I've only missed one. And I watch the way they vote. And I want to tell you that George Barnstone is one of the most disrespectful men I know. And I know that there are some people out here who know me that might like to say the same thing, but I have the reputation that I have because I have to speak in this way to be heard. Dan Jones, where have you been? I asked you to babysit my kids while I did all the committee work. Only place I ever see you is on the chat room.
Rhonda.
Okay?
Thank you.
So you put Charles Smith up here.
Again, let me,
and just
up.
So you know, Deb Shafto agrees with every word I've said. I consulted her with her beforehand.
Okay.
Deb.
Folks, Rhonda, please.
Just
please,
one
Rhonda.
More great comment.
Thank you, Rhonda.
Deb
I think we got
voted
the point.
Not to grandfather and set a great example for our community.
Okay. Thank you. Rhonda, thank you very much. Jane Jackson. Oh, are you Marie? Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't realize who you were. Okay. This is Marianne, I guess, from way at the beginning.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay. Marianne Dumont from WBAI
right.
Signal
Two
Area.
2 minutes.
Yeah,
timer.
Okay. I just wanted to address, Leslie, your concerns earlier today about identity politics. One of the things that we have found working in the Unity Caucus together is that by bringing in many diverse voices who bring in their own struggles, their own individual needs, their own voices, and through much exchange and ultimately consensus, we believe that we transcend the problems of identity politics, and that not only that, when people feel that they have an actual place in the decision-making process, we find that there is a more willingness to cooperate with each other, and also it brings more people from each of the communities. We've had people from the youth community. We've had people... The Unity Caucus meetings, I wish the board looked like the meetings that we have, and I would just like to urge you to really consider that... it's worth the effort. It is really worth the effort, and it ties in with what so many people have said today. Thank you.
Okay, we have Jane Jackson, Carolyn. Where's Jane? Oh, Jane's over here. Is this mic on? Yes. Okay. And then Carolyn, and then Earl Gerhardt after Carolyn.
My name is Jane Jackson. I come from the original listening area, and I've been a listener since 1949. I would like to say thank you for the compliments, but I must correct them. I was incarcerated, and so I'd like to direct my remarks to all those who are incarcerated, be they in prison, in hospitals, nursing homes, or locked into their own homes, and to let you know, Mumia, that you are here, whether you're here in person or not, and to say thank you to Dick Gregory for his crucial vote at the beginning of this process, to say I hope I see you in Washington, and thank you for always being with us when it comes to the issue of civil rights. Why Pacifica does not understand that it is in violation of many civil rights laws in the way it operates is beyond me, but I know that tokenism is not the answer. It's not the answer in cases of race, gender, or disability. It is people who understand and who choose to work together. And I am not going to stop until Pacifica is back the way it was when Lou Hill conceived it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. Carolyn, and Earl, and Mike Pimentel.
Thank you. I'm Carolyn Burden from the WBAI area, and I'd like to make a few remarks about accountability and elections. I'm speaking especially against what has been called, I think falsely, the inclusion model. And pardon? Yes, I'm calling it the appointed
sorry, folks,
seats model.
Can people not interrupt each other? Carolyn's at the mic. Let her speak.
I think that under this model, anyone wanting to vote would have to choose an identity and would be restricted to voting for, if I understand properly, two candidates in only two groups. They would have to choose a group, female, Latino, African American, and so on. One of the questions I have, of course, is who decides who these groups are? And the other question is that to choose an identity, to force people to choose an identity, is to ignore the fact that under single transferable voting, they would be able to vote for as many candidates as there are seats. They would be diluted terribly otherwise. Thank you. Yes. Your vote is going to be diluted. It's a Trojan horse. And it is an attempt essentially to take over the governing boards of the local stations by the same people who would be choosing these so-called constituents. If the stations and the people involved in the Unity Caucus, who have done wonderful outreach, would simply direct that to what we're about, which is the air, and do programming to attract listeners, I think we would solve the problem. We would have the Pacifica that we really need. Thank you.
Okay. Earl and then Mike.
Earl Gerhard from Houston, and I want to direct my comments to Carol Spooner's initial address, where she made the statement that she wasn't sure if bringing all these five reports together, the problems that it had caused was worth it. And what I want to do is thank Carol, and I want to thank the rest of this board, because it is worth it. What this has done is opened up and brought many people into the process, learning to fight for what they believe in and to be a part of a bigger cause. The problems that it's uncovered were there. This has been an opportunity for us to heal them. I want to thank you for that and thank all the labs and all the people who have worked so hard in this process.
Okay, we have Michael, David Moore, and Andrew Fishman, and then there'll be three more after them. So we're nearing the end of this period.
Okay, I wanted to ask Leslie, are we going to have comments during the station reports, or is that going to happen?
We're going to try to do
okay,
that.
Okay, okay. Well, with respect to my comments right now, I'd like to first of all state that with respect to the I'm a member of the KPFT. My name is Michael Pimentel. I'm a member of the KPFT lab. Also a member of the KPFT Governance Bylaws Committee and a member of the KPFT Elections Committee. I want to say with respect to the work the KPFT Committee did, it is incomplete. There is one particular very unique section that I'd like to point you to. It's the same section which was objected to earlier. It's a unique solution in respect. It's under the diversity goals in Article 3, Section 2, I believe. It is actually Article 4, Section 2. It stipulates a committee of inclusion, which would essentially serve part of the ascertainment function of the local advisory board in terms of determining what communities would be served or what communities are underserved. I'd also like to say, generally speaking, I don't endorse the KPFT bylaws proposal. After consideration, I believe that the KPFK Unity proposal probably offers some of the most strategic and interesting solutions to what we've seen go on, you know, thus far. I've been struggling against a lot of exclusionary behavior, and I just like to say that I think that that's from within Pacifica, a reflection of the society around us, and I think we always need to struggle against that and find ways to unite rather than divide ourselves. So, thank you very much.
Okay, so we have David Moore, then Andrew Fishman, then Chandra Hoffman.
Hi, I'm David Moore, listener from... Thank you. Thanks very much. Listener from Montana by streaming audio, and I bring what I've discovered in this Pacifica community, a certain legacy that carries respect for the mission because of my connection to the founders, and I'm always moved by how deeply that respect is carried throughout this community. I'd like to speak just all we have is briefly to the perceived dichotomy between governance and programming. we're at a historic moment for Pacifica, and I'd like to suggest that many of the crises, decade by decade, throughout Pacifica have been towards this moment of democratization, that indeed it's worth the experiment, that we've had a consistent problem with centralization versus listener ownership. And it's time, I think, for moving away from what was indeed an elite foundation of the, of Pacifica towards a democratic experiment. And that's a very broad and important context. In along those lines, it comes down to the governance versus programming issues. Who's going to own the governance of programming? And there are two particulars that line up with that issue that I'd like to address. One is program councils and program directors and their contests. And then if I can get to it in these 2 minutes, a brief attention to the constituency model question. Basically, I think it's a false dichotomy that Pacifica is a process of working through these very frustrations and paradoxes. Pacifica, there's been incredibly eloquent invocations of democracy and faith even this evening. And I think that the way Lou Hill envisioned the movement across the paradox from ownership of the station to voice on the air is the faith to make that leap together, the faith to trust that we can dialogue enough to get in each historic moment a possibility for action. Now, to swing entirely towards listener ownership or to swing entirely towards an individual program director or programmer being entirely in charge of the station is obviously not the solution, and it's dialogue that can get us to that middle road. I think in this democratization process, we're swinging towards the wider ownership. And I'd like to suggest I'm in no position to defend the constituency model in its details, but I think that the notion that programming can do it instead of governance doing it is a false dichotomy, that indeed we have to talk through that very issue to reach out into the communities in the way that the constituency model is suggesting. And in fact, Carolyn Burden just acknowledged that value of that process. And I think that's moving towards the governance on a wider base. There's much more to say, but thanks very much.
Thank you. Okay, folks, we have four more people. We're going to go a little more than the hour that we'd set aside for this, but I want to take all four so that everyone will have had their moment. Please try and keep it really to no more than 2 minutes. Andrea, it's Andrea, Chandra, Dan Jones, and Errol Maitland.
I'm Andrea Fishman, and I'm from WBAI. And I would like to echo these statements tonight that have been made by David Adelson and Leslie Kagan. I think that it is important that the foundation be constructed more like a commons and more like with the public voice participating in its decision-making process. I think that Leslie Kagan's remarks that we should have immediately network-wide discussions about how what our vision is of Pacifica and how we construct construct ourselves internally, how we make decisions internally, is a very, very important point. I think these discussions should be made a part of our process, and that these discussions should be regular and systematic, and they should be carried out over the air. It's imperative that we be included, that the listening communities be included in the governance of this network. This is what will preserve the network. This is what will preserve
our voice. This is exactly what will make Pacifica a part of the peace and justice movement. An informed community this discussion will enable the culture of participating democracy to both proliferate within the network and also not only over the air, but on the ground in our communities. The world is on fire. We are being deprived of our voice right now. There is a serious effort out there to silence us and to silence dissent. And yet, right now, in our own process, I am afraid we are losing our impact and our chance to have an effect on it. What has been decided about the way that bylaws will be completed, the way the bylaws discussions will be completed, does not, in fact, include listener input, listener discussion, or listener review. It really does not. There are weaknesses in the bylaws right now. They do not clearly include mandates against government funding. The Democracy Now! Contract has a stipulation. I will finish shortly. That ties us into government. That will tie us into government funding. And unless the community is allowed to make decisions about this, we will not be able to protect our voice. We are being deprived of the right to protect our voice. So I seriously urge the committee to the board to reconsider its decisions and include us in the final decisions of the bylaws.
Okay, we have two more people. And again, three more people. Chandra, Dan Jones, and Errol Maitland. Chandra.
Good evening. I'm Chandra Houtman from the KPFA listener area. A lot of people have spoken in support of the KPFA election model, but I'm here to support the KPFA outreach model, which resulted in a KPFA station board that has 50% representation of people of color and 50% representation by women. This outreach model was developed by the board, the listeners, the supporters, the volunteers, and the staff, the listener supporters. We all helped create this model. We also helped create a community needs assessment process that resulted in outreach throughout the Signal area by 12 community meetings, a listener-initiated survey of what the listeners wanted from KPFA that resulted in a published report that has been distributed widely, including to all the IPNB members and all the managers from all the stations. Nominations and candidates nights, on-air publicity of candidates and meetings. And I would also like to acknowledge the fact that through staff, management, and program council and board cooperation, programming has been expanded and diversified at KPFA to increase outreach to communities such as Asian Pacific Islanders, hip-hop youth, Middle Easterners, an Islam program, and Guns and Butters to reach different audiences. And we've also initiated a new model where we have new programmings created in perpetuity so that more programs can be rotated in. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, it's Dan Jones from Houston. First of all, I'd just like to say it's great to see the board here in Houston. It was a year ago since you were last here, and this is perhaps a less interesting board meeting, but I think we can all agree that it's a much more enjoyable meeting. What I'd like to say is that I'm very amazed by the process of the bylaws process at each of the stations. I think it worked pretty well, and you've got a lot of different proposals in front of you. And I'd just like to call your attention to one balance in the bylaws that I'd like you to consider, and that's the balance between the authority of the paid station managers and the rights of the board and of the listeners. And I think we all suffered through management that was both unaccountable and politically hostile to the purpose of this foundation. But just because we have management at all the stations now, which is politically simpatico with the purposes of the foundation, it doesn't mean that they won't become unaccountable. And I dump on Dwayne a lot, but I just want to say that the best decisions that Dwayne has made, like getting a newscast, have happened with full participation by the widest community. And the worst decisions that Dwayne has made, like the decision tonight not to broadcast this meeting on his own radio station, were made by himself and himself alone. And I think it's a very useful lesson about accountability at all stages and at all times in the management of the station. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And then finally, Errol. Yeah.